This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
Hello and welcome to this final edition of Market Talk for 2022. In this episode, we'll be taking a quick look back at financial markets, but more importantly, we'll be looking ahead to 2023. Will it be the year of the soft or hard landing? How are valuations looking in light of the extraordinary volatility we've seen all year? Has King Dollar had its day in the sun? And with oil at nearly $130 a barrel, a decidedly distant memory, where next for the price of black gold? So, asking the questions for the final time this year is me, Frances Watson, content manager, and putting it all into perspective for us, Ben Bennett, head of investment strategy and research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Frances, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for asking. Look, all year, investors have been adjusting, haven't they, to this period of higher rates and negative returns. Just what are those returns looking like, Ben?
It's actually been a little bit of a better November, hasn't it? So they don't look quite as bad as they did a few weeks ago. But let's just have a look now. I'm taking the prices, the returns from the end of the 29th of November, which is yesterday as we're recording. These are all from Icon or Barclays for the credit indices, just so you know where I'm getting the data from. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the place to start, I think the most remarkable, extraordinary is all in the bond market. And that's been driving everything really, hasn't it? So 2-year treasury yields this year up 3.7%, 374 basis points to be exact, to 4.5%. So having started off, you know, incredibly low, below 1%, now up 4.5%. That's been the main move, actually. If you look further down the curve, not so much of a movement. They're higher yields, yes, but it's really been about the curve inverting. Just thinking about real yields, though, which is the place, remember, that's like the strangle yield. That's the interest increase over and above inflation. So let's take the 10-year US real yield. That is up 254 basis points to positive 1.5%. That was negative at the start of the year. So we flipped from really easy conditions to tighter conditions. So then that's driving everything, to be honest. So if you take credit spreads, for example, investment grade credit, this year in the US, 41 basis points higher. Again, that's tightened a bit in the last few weeks, so it was a lot worse, but still 41 basis points. And you've got to add that on to the move in yields. And that means that if you add those two together, the total return for US investment grade credit, minus 16%. So that's huge moves. High yield, again, spreads wider by 165 basis points, so a big move. It's got a shorter duration high yield, so the total return for high yield, not as bad as that 16% for investment grade, but still down 11%. I think the place that has done relatively well is emerging markets. That's only wider by 55 basis points. That's usually the place where you get a lot of pain, but this time around, emerging markets have actually, like I say, done relatively well. We can touch on why in a bit.
Yeah, especially with a stronger dollar. Bit weird.
Yeah, they started this downturn in a relatively good position. They generally sorted out balance sheets and they'd hiked early. The problem with emerging markets in past cycles is that they hadn't hiked enough and they were left sort of swimming without their shorts. The tide went out, but this time around they're fully closed. So that's been good news. And then flipping to equity markets, S&P 500 in the US down 17%. The NASDAQ down 30%. So, you know, some big moves there. We know the technology stocks have been probably beaten up. Yeah. Just looking at here in China, the CSI 300, which is the mainland China index, down 22%. Funnily enough, almost exactly the same as the Hang Seng, down 22%. The place that's been done relatively well, Euro stocks. So down only 9% in Europe. So that's had a pretty strong recovery, perhaps as some of the fears around the gas shortages have been realized, and also benefiting from weak currency, because, you know, the dollar has been very strong this year. So, you know, if you earn in dollars, that's really benefited you.
That
has been the real strength for the FTSE. I mean, the FTSE, the very few things that have been up this year, but as to the date that I mentioned, the FTSE is up 2%, again, benefiting both from the strength in the dollar, the weakness in the pound, and also strength in commodities. although I just looked at commodities. You mentioned earlier about oil. I mean, Brent is up 6% this year. So that's one of the places that's done well. But some of those industrial metals like copper, steel, I have those down 19% as the indices that I look at. Again, they've been under pressure because of some of the weakness in China. So that's a bit of a whistle stop tour about how we've done. But I guess going forward, it depends about valuations, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to be my next question, because, you know, you've given us the returns. Where are we with valuations? I mean, obviously, as you've pointed out, Ben, a lot of yield cushion going on into 2023.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's take credit, because I think that's the best way of thinking about it, because obviously you've got credit is a combination of underlying government bond yield, which has gone up, and also credit spread, which has also gone up. So you've got that double impact leading to those big negative returns that I mentioned so far this year. But it does mean that investment grade credit starts now. We don't know what it's going to be at the start of, I guess, 2023. But right now, US investment grade, 5.4% starting yield. So that's a decent cushion for what might happen. It started this year, 2022, at just 2.3%. So that tells you what's been going on there. The high yield index is near 9%. It's 8.8%. Again, that started 2022 at 4.2. So it started 2022 at a lower yield than what investment grade credit currently is. So that just tells you the turnaround. And with those sorts of starting spread, I mean, who knows what happens next year? But I would say there's a reasonable chance that we get either lower government bond yields and we get, you know, the recession, which would lead potentially to higher credit spreads, but the two might offset this time around. Or, you know, we're all fine and everything's okay, or inflation's a little bit higher, we get higher government bond yields, but because we're all fine and the economy's growing a bit better, maybe we get tighter credit spreads. Again, those two things could offset. That's normally what you expect with credit, those two things offsetting, with those nice high yields. You stand a better chance in 2023 of it being a positive return and putting those real negative returns from 2022 behind us.
It would feel like that. I mean, obviously, we're not, you know, we haven't got crystal balls, but it would, you know, logically, it would feel like that, wouldn't it? And of course, much of the narrative that, you know, that has driven those yields higher, Ben, has been obviously the Fed tightening. So just interesting to learn that I was reading the other day a pickup in the November, the FOMC minutes. Wasn't reading the whole of it, by the way, but just pulling out the quote that a substantial majority of members agreed that a slower pace of hiking would likely soon be appropriate. Now, the big question is, how soon is soon?
We've got a meeting for the Fed, the next Fed meeting, policy meeting, 14th of December. That's every 6 weeks or so. And so that's in a couple of weeks from today. They've been going at 75 basis points a meeting so far. Markets are pricing in a 50 basis point hike. So soon is right now. So that's the next meeting in effect. And then I think once we get down to the 50 basis point hike range, they might do another one. It's in the right at the beginning of February, end of January is the next meeting, maybe another 50 basis points. And maybe then they move to 25 for the March meeting. And who knows after that, maybe they stop. I think that's the trajectory that a lot of people are talking about. I'm reading everyone's outlooks, and that's roughly in line with what we think. Maybe two more 50 basis points, one or two 25 basis points, and then stop and see how they go. The problem, of course, as we've been saying for many months now, is the labor market is super tight. They probably won't stop hiking, even as inflation starts to come down. And we think inflation has peaked now, but they're going to continue to hike because they want to see the employment market start to, the tightness start to loosen a little bit. And that will take a while longer. If they stop hiking too soon, then the problem is that the labor market remains tight and you're going to see wage inflation that feeds into price inflation and we're back at square one. So they're going to want to really beat that inflation. We're going to get a bit of data actually at the end of this week, the latest monthly payroll data. So we'll see what the US looked like in November for their payrolls. And that could influence their decision. We're going to see the monthly overall numbers, but you've really got to dig into them to see what's really going on in the US. the economy has gone from dominated by goods sector to the service sector. The goods sector is everyone buying a new rowing machine during lockdown. That didn't require very many US jobs. It was manufacturing jobs, perhaps even in China or somewhere else. So people have bought their rowing machines and now they want to go out to a restaurant. The restaurant, the service sector, is needing to employ more people. So even though the economy is flatlining or even going down a little bit, what people are moving towards requires more jobs. And that's the problem the Fed sees. That they probably need to see a weaker growth environment than they would normally in order to be comfortable that they've got the inflation under control. So, yeah, we'll be looking at that jobs data, but we will be digging into it.
So doesn't that all point then to a soft landing and no talk of a hard one?
Well, no, not really, because if the Fed is going to keep the tightening cycle longer than expected, they're going to have to keep the spending even lower than potentially the potentially investors are expecting. I think it's the reverse. I think that, you know, investors are underestimating how much tighter the Fed is going to go, how much they will want to break the job market. And this talk of pivot, which has been behind some of the decent performance in November, that, you know, that could be unwound at some point in the next couple of months if people see what I see and get more disappointed.
So the environment you've just described then, Ben, what sort of backdrop is that for bonds?
I think government bonds at this stage are probably a reasonable investment just because yields are so high, as we spoke about before. I think that if we're heading into a slowdown, if people are going to be worried about how much the Fed wants to tighten, you generally would see bond yields fall under that environment. Very dissimilar to what we saw in 2022, which was bond yields go up, squeezing every other asset class. This time around, they might revert back to what they normally do, which is fall in a recession. So yeah, that's potentially what investors are going to be looking at. And then as they get more comfortable with the downside risk, they might dip their toe into investment grade credit, sort of the lower risk credit. And then once the economy again bottoms out and the Federal Reserve might even think about this pivot towards the second half of next year, then you can start thinking about high yield credit or equity. So that's the order that I think investors will start focusing in: government bonds, investment grade credit, and then high yield and equities later in the year.
Okay, interesting. So look, we've talked a lot about overall asset allocation. Just let's go back, if we can, to China, because last week, of course, saw the second cut in the reserve requirement ratio. Investor sentiment seems to be improving from the lows, emphasis on seems. I mean, can we expect more liquidity measures there in 2023, Ben?
China's growth has been disappointing all year. We know the reasons why. The property sector has been under pressure. Zero COVID has weighed on activity. There is some signs, both from a zero COVID and a property sector, that following the party congress, there's maybe some moderation of policy, some support is coming through. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see on that. It's hard to discern exactly what's going on. But you're right, they did ease some policy. I think the key there is actually that the US dollar, which has been so strong for such a long period of time, the US dollars have started to weaken a little bit in recent weeks, as, you know, talk of the pivot, perhaps, you know, the Fed, we can see the end of the Fed hiking cycle. So the dollar started to weaken. That's allowed other countries some leeway to loosen policy if they need to and not worry that their currency is going to get whacked by that. You know, remember what happened to the pound when we decided to loosen fiscal policy a few weeks ago. So perhaps the weakness in the dollar is allowing China just to be a little bit more supportive, and that's what we saw there. And China obviously will want their economy to return back to normal at some point next year. And that's another place potentially with some opportunities. You know, it's been such a bad over a year for China. They went into this downturn early. I think there's a possibility they come out of it early as well. So fingers crossed for 2023.
So then, I mean, just talking about real rates again, I mean, not just China, presumably, but other emerging market countries which have relatively higher real rates as well, potential opportunity for cutting there.
Yeah, exactly. It will allow, that's exactly right. Emerging markets in general are constrained sometimes by dollar strength. And the dollar, if the dollar continues to weaken, then yeah, they could be doing a bit better. I would say it's probably a little bit too early to sound the exits for dollar strength. I'd say The Fed is still going to be hiking, remember, for a few more meetings, in my opinion. And on that basis, I think the dollar might remain relatively strong. So it might not be straight away in 2023. It might be a little bit later in the year, but something to keep your eye on.
Okay, well, let's keep an eye on your number for the year this time, Ben. So number for 2023, why have you chosen it? Tell us what it is.
Three is my number. It's sort of the end of 2022 because it's been 3 years since I last went to see any of our investors, any of our clients. And I'm going to see some clients in Korea next week. So for the first time in 3 years. And the other three that I've seen, I checked the weather here in Hong Kong. It's a lovely 20 degrees. In Korea, it's minus 3 degrees. So I'm going to have to see if my jumpers have got too much dust on them and whether or not they still fit me. That's the plan.
Fantastic. Will you have to go through all the COVID rigmarole and the passes and the tests still and all that palaver?
Not to get into Korea, but to get back to Hong Kong, there's still a few things you need to do. But they are relaxing, so it's better than it was.
Yeah, but we're getting you out and about, Ben. That's the main thing. Well, look, thank you so much for all your insights for this year. Shout out to Josh and Liv, who've done all the editing behind the scenes this year for all the Market Talk episodes. And special thanks to you all for listening.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are by their nature subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2022. Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.